Welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by thesoberclub.com. I'm Genuinely Grace. This is for you if you've quit the booze or you'd like to, or maybe you're just sober curious. I'll bring you tips and motivation without any judgment, and there'll be inspiration from experts, quitlet authors, and sober heroes. Hi and welcome to the podcast. What a week it's been. A lot of feedback and fallout from the podcast last week. I think it really, I hope it really rattled some cages actually. I was so pleased to have got to speak to the senior clinical researcher, Dr. Anya Toppy-Waller. If you haven't heard that podcast yet, do go back and have a listen. It's really wonderful, actually, to have it told like it is. You know, let's change this narrative around alcohol, for God's sake, once and for all. And, you know, you've heard me say a million times, if you're happy drinking, I'm guessing you probably wouldn't be listening to this podcast, but if you really are, then you're good to go. This podcast, everything I'm doing is to try and reach people, to help them understand that they do not have to stay in the alcohol trap. If you know your life could be better, you know, without the booze, physically and emotionally, then take some action, because not enough people share this positive message. And for once, an actual clinical study really tells it like it is. None of that kind of pussyfooting around that most of them do. And I was fully expecting Dr. Anya Toppy-Waller to be very cautious and not claim any causal links or anything. But no, it was very hard hitting. And it was great to hear that. The study has been mentioned a few times in various media outlets this week, even got mentioned on radio too. Interestingly, one of the another study that's been out around a similar time that I referenced when I spoke to Anya is this thing about how this piece that you may have seen published in The Lancet that said that alcohol is good for you if you're over 40. I mean, seriously, what actual BS? And it's one of the things that Anya covered in her conversation last week, is why those studies get it so wrong because of the referencing groups that they choose. But I actually pitched a magazine and said, look, would you, they'd printed the piece about the alcohol is good for you if you're over 40 BS. And I offered them, you know, an opinion piece with some direct quotes, you know, from Anya, or recommended that they look at that study. But the response was that I got from the editor was, well, most other studies don't support that. And I thought, wow, of course they don't, because that really doesn't serve the alcohol industry, does it? It really doesn't. Everything in this country, the whole culture, points to keeping that narrative going that it's normal, and, you know, the people that can't drink, oh, poor you. Anyways, if you haven't listened to it yet, do have a listen to that podcast. It was really beneficial, I think, for a lot of people. I think sometimes you really do just need to tell it like it is, actually. And if you've got people around you who are sober shamers or trying to convince you that alcohol is good for you, then maybe get them to have a listen. Today's show, something completely different, which I ought to have brought to you last week, because it was timely last week, but then so was Dr. Anya Toppy-Waller's study. So I had to go with that, because that was very much the topic of the hour, as it were, was that that study around alcohol. So this piece, which also should have gone out last week, is with Davina McCall, who is just the most fantastic woman. And in this particular interview that she did for us in the Sober Club, we're talking about moon energies and how the energies of the moon affect us. It's so fascinating. But as I say, the piece really should have gone out last week, because then it would have been just before the full moon. But nevertheless, there's still an awful lot you can pick up from the interview generically, because, you know, let's face it, there'll be another one coming round, right? So anyways, gonna bring you that interview with Davina McHale in just a little while. Just want to remind you first that if you are, you know, if you did listen to that interview last week, if it hit home and you were thinking, oh my goodness, I genuinely do need to do this. I really do. It's time. How do I do it? Someone in the Sober Club, you know, sort of just joined and just said, okay, serious question. How do you make it stick? You know, how do you make it stick? And the answer to that is you put the work in. You make the commitment, you make it non-negotiable, and you put the work in. And that might mean going and ordering a completely different set of shopping to the stuff you normally buy, because you've got to eat well, right? You've got to balance your brain chemistry. It might mean being connected. It almost certainly will mean being connected. It will mean some kind of accountability. It will mean finding other stuff to do, other little ways of getting pleasure. You know, we are humans, we're seeking that dopamine. And how are we going to get it? Doesn't have to be the big stuff, the little stuff, the stuff we've forgotten that we enjoy. I do think it's interesting that when we ditch the booze, we can start to find joy in little things. And we can actually, joy, full stop, we can start to find. And being sober makes you brave and makes you more able to go after stuff. But in those early weeks when everything just feels really awful and chaotic, you don't even know who the hell you are. Like, well, who am I now that I'm not the party girl that I thought I was? You've just got to get through that period with some tools in your toolkit. And that's where coaching can really, really help. And being part of a community is absolutely key. It's hopeless if you're trying to do this, you know, against the advice of family and friends who are all still drinking or just don't really get it. So that's where the Sober Club comes in. So shameless plug for my own club, you know, join us, because the connection is amazing. The inspiration is amazing. The support is amazing. You literally get cheerleaded, right? Whatever is going on. It's non-judgmental. And if you're having a bad day, there'll be people there that raise you up, literally. It's just such an amazing community. There's so much content in there, so much exclusive stuff that doesn't get anywhere else. The interview I'm going to bring you today was an exclusive Q&A for people within the Sober Club. So amazing value that they got there. And it includes, of course, Get the Buzz Without the Booze. So do check it out, thesoberclub.com, if you want to join us. And, you know, it's low cost, very high value. What else can I say? You know, if you're not already a member, then do have a look at it. We do lots of online events as well. And we have some events that, of course, everyone's welcome to. Sober by the Sea is the next one. I think there's a couple of places left. I think there is for the Sunday Sober by the Sea. There's a very small event. There's one on Sunday, 21st of August. So it'd be absolutely lovely if you wanted to come along and meet us in person. Just drop me a message. Go to thesoberclub.com and click on events. And coming up in the autumn, there will be more Family Constellations workshops, more retreats. I'm planning some more retreats. Lots of other stuff to come. One of the things that I talk about all the time that you absolutely need in your toolbox is something else to drink. The number of people that say to me, oh, don't worry about it. I'm good. I'm good with my Coke. I'm good with my cup of tea. No, you aren't. Not when it comes to it. Not when other people are cracking open a chilled bottle of something. It's much, much harder. So you know my mantra, keep the ritual, change the ingredients. And for those of us who are wine drinkers, this can sometimes be a really big one, because as we know, the market is really crowded, actually, with some amazing spirits and amazing alternatives to spirits. But when it comes to wine, the choice isn't quite as big. And I'm just so thrilled that for this podcast, we've teamed up with Iceberg. Now, it's a name you'll definitely know. They've been around a long time. Iceberg, spelled E-I-S-B-E-R-G, the number one UK alcohol-free wine. And it's such a fantastic alternative if you were a wine drinker, because they've got these kind of really lovely, crispy, fruity flavours. It's vegan, it's low calorie. They're just super good alcohol-free wines. And often with the alcohol-free wines, they've just got the one, but Iceberg have got a whole selection. So it's not just the red or the white. They've actually got a whole selection of them. And it's 0%. So they're not, you know, they deliver the 0%, as it were, without any sacrificing on quality. And what they say is that the way they make Iceberg is they remove all of the alcohol from the wine using a special gentle process, using cutting edge technology, but it still manages to maintain the complex aroma profiles, they say. So it's just like favourite wine, but without the hangover. And so, as I say, they've got not just the one, but they've got a Cabernet Sauvignon, a Chardonnay, a Merlot, a Rosé, a Sauvignon Blanc, a sparkling Rosé, and a sparkling white. So super good brand. And unbelievably affordable. I mean, again, with some people I've said to them, you know, get yourself some alcohol-free drinks because this is going to make the difference. And they'll say, oh, well, I was hoping to save some money now I'm not drinking. And so this, you know, I don't really want to be spending it all on alcohol-free drinks. These Iceberg wines, you can get a bottle for £4 or less. I mean, amazingly affordable. And you can get it in the high street. So you haven't even got to order online. They're in Morrison's, they're in on Amazon, they're in Ocado, they're in Tesco, I think they're in Waitrose too, Nisa supermarkets. Really amazing, you know, opportunity to make this really simple for you. So just a reminder then, they've got the Sauvignon Blanc, gooseberry and tropical fruit flavours kind of thing. They've got the sparkling Sauvignon Blanc, which is great, the sparkling rosé, they've got the Chardonnay, which has got kind of like hints of lemon if you're into your flavour profiles. And if you like red wine, without the headache, of course, then they've got a fruity aromatic Merlot and a Cabernet Sauvignon. So, amazing brand. Check them out, iceberg.co.uk. And if you go to my sister site and also on the Sober Club, we've got a competition to win. I think the competition wins a range of 6 bottles. So, yeah, feel free to enter that as well. And check them out, iceberg.co.uk. So, as I promised, Davina McHale is a fabulous woman, fabulous moon expert. Just a heads up again that the interview was really meant to go out last week. So all the references she's making to the new moon coming in Leo was actually a week ago. So we've been there, done that. We've had that new moon. and we're now in that phase that she's talking about, thank goodness. So if you feel your energy increase this week, that's the reason why. And obviously, you know, as I say, just bear that in mind as you listen to this. And if you want to take note of some of the stuff she says about how the energy has changed generally, then just remember we're a week on, just over a week on from when we recorded this interview. Anyways, enjoy. Well, I'm absolutely delighted that my guest is Davina McHale, Hay House author, medicine woman, just returned from over 2 years living deep in the Peruvian Amazon, caretaking, she says, 47 hectares of rainforest. Welcome, Davina.
Me and my cat.
Well, we'll no doubt talk about that in a moment. But just before we talk about your rainforest experience, which you know, I can barely believe is real. It seems it's so out of my comfort zone to even say it. It's incredible. I love adventurous people. But before we even mention that, let's just share a little bit about your work prior, you know, to going off there.
My work prior was pretty much, I suppose, feng shui, space clearing and shamanically based predominantly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm also obviously very into dreams, wrote a book on it, and like feng shui, wrote a book on it. But but it's more holistic around the client, because I just think we can either work with the individual or we can work with the home, and they both mm-hmm. have a similar effect in how we can really transform and change people's environments and how they feel about it and things like that. So yeah. I love working with, you know, environmental psychology, if you like.
Yeah, absolutely. And we met when we were both, you know, working with Hay House, of course. I've always been a really big fan of your work. And it's been lovely to see recently the stuff you've been doing around moon energy. So I thought it'd be really cool to talk about that, because so many of us, you know, I think once you're sober and you become a little bit more tuned to what's going on, tuned to your own rhythms, tuned to you know, how you're feeling physically and emotionally, it can really change everything. But before we get into that, you are going to have to tell us about this Peruvian Amazon hectares of rainforest. I mean, what do you mean?
To be fair, Jamie, I felt exactly the same way as you. I have never, ever, ever in my life wanted to go to the Amazon. Far too many creepy crawlies, far too many things that can kill you. Not my idea of fun whatsoever. But, you know, never say never to the universe. Rule number one. Because the universe goes, oh, really? Never, huh? Let's try
that. What happened then? How did you come to be there? Where did you live?
That is too long a story, because it is really kind of quite a long, complicated story. But anyways, it was spirit. God, universe, universal energies, angels, whatever you want to call it. It was very guided. I literally gave up my entire life in England. I was never coming back. That was it. And then, of course, we got there. We did one retreat for a bunch of very lovely Danish men, which was delightful. And then the pandemic's doors firmly slammed behind us. And basically, you can't, it's not, 47 hectares, and we're right on the buffer zone of conservation between us and the gold mining territory. So it's, you get, if we leave it unattended, you get illegal mined and all the trees get cut down pretty quickly. So you have to maintain a presence there. So I've had to basically pay salaries and look after people and do it myself for like the last couple of years with no income, and it just became
But well,
incredible.
who was caretaking it before you then?
Well, we bought it 4.5 years
I
ago,
see.
a group of us, and then but to actually make it work, we had a guardian who kind of lived on site, local proving guy, but he was not managing on his own. And it needs presence. It needs people. I mean, I have to say, I will admit, the first few weeks, months, and we were there for the whole pandemic. I had no Wi-Fi signal, no electricity, no fridge, no fresh, 3.5 hours upriver from the nearest kind of town or anywhere where you can buy food or
So
anything.
you got real good at foraging, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I mean, we have jungle gardens, so we grow our own oranges, lemons, and things like that. So there's plenty of fruit. What you don't get is vegetables, and you don't get grains. But there was a freedom in that. It was wonderful. I had no idea the world could have ended. I wouldn't
Yeah, lovely. That
have
is
known.
a freedom.
And real magic because it's quite a big river that land is on. And so it has a lot of banana farmers, gold miners, tree loggers, and everything up and down. But because of the pandemic, all the river traffic stopped. So we actually got to see jaguar fly
Oh
suddenly
my God,
on the
how
river.
amazing.
And that is, I mean, there I can't even explain to you what that does to you when you see it in its natural habitat, thinking, wow, it's not in a national park, it's not in a zoo, it's just doing what it does.
But on a serious note, I mean, I won't talk about this too much, but for those of us who really just, I mean, I in all truth, I'm actually a little bit ashamed at how ignorant I am about that area. I really am quite ignorant, and I genuinely don't really know what you mean when you say it has, we have to caretake it, we have to look after it.
Because
Why? What's the impact for us?
there's no fences per se. You have GPS coordinates of where your land begins and ends, kind of thing, and you have pathways through the jungle, literally through the jungle. Now, obviously, the jungle, you can virtually watch it grow in rainy season. So to keep those paths cleared, you're constantly out there macheteing them down to keep your kind of boundaries cleared. But for example, we had a lot of castagna trees, and they're very rare. They're the Brazil nut tree. That's what kids write. Brazil nuts, by the way, girls, really value
Rich
them.
in selenium.
No, but really value them. They are so rare. They only grow in this one little tiny band across the earth, and they need one type of bee, one type of orchid, and one type of mammal that can get in their nuts to populate them. The fact that they exist at all is a true miracle. And we have a lot of those. They're a very valuable crop. So people literally, if you're not there, people will come, will just walk in. People just hack through the forest, I mean, all the time. And they'll take your trees because they're of huge value. Like, we have some really old trees that are massively valuable in terms of their wood. Probably got gold in my back garden, not that I was digging it up to find out, but because it's not what I'm into. But that kind of, and people will come and effectively dig your back garden up. They will just squat the land, and there's not very, I mean, they're a lot tougher than I am, so I'm not going to mess with them. And most people, I mean, one of the big things with the people we had, everybody wanted, I had this big conversation about whether we had guns on the property or not. And for me, maybe I'm too much of a sort of drampet. It's like, if you have a gun, it's going to go off, and probably inappropriately. And I really stuck out because I've always felt very safe there myself. I tune into the land spirits. I work with the trees, with the nature. I think if you build a relationship with the space you're in, it's back to your relationship with your home. If you have a good relationship with your home, it's going to protect you. Excuse me. So I didn't feel that, but and I just felt much safer actually not having a gun. And we had some kind of scary moments. I mean, one of the big things of is the volume of water. This was the most terrifying thing, is that the river we lived on, and we're right on the riverbank, could change height volume And this is like height volume, 10 to 15, not feet, but meters in a
Wow.
few hours, and it wouldn't even be raining.
Wow,
It comes,
really?
so we were constantly trying, and the boat is your one thing that's going to save your life because that's the only way you've got to get into town or to get anywhere. And you were constantly having to make sure, like, waking up every 2 hours through the night to make sure the boat was safe. I mean, we have had moments when, you're up to your sort of waist in Amazonian mud at 3 o'clock in the morning with lovely leeches and sandflies and God knows what rescuing the boat. Those were some really lovely moments that I'm really quite pleased the
Wow. I hope you're going to write a book about all this, by the way.
Maybe one day when I've got over the
Yeah.
trauma.
Well, look, obviously you've been, massively in touch with nature, literally. I mean, you always have been, but very much so. Back on talking about the moon. I mean, we know the moon can, well, pulls the water in and out, right, of the ocean, and so it's not surprising, is it, really, that it's going to affect us one way or another. We're 70% water, and the moon in one way or another is going to affect us physically and emotionally. For anyone who has never even considered that concept before, because there will be people who haven't really thought about that, explain to us a little bit more about how the moon
I mean,
affects us.
it is what the fastest moving planet. It kind of whizzes around every 28 days, is its complete cycle, 28, 29 days. It has a huge influence on us, particularly for the feminine body,
Yeah,
because also
our cycles.
our periods and our menstrual cycles change with the moon cycles. The tides get larger and bigger around the new moon or the full moon. So it does exert like a cosmic ray influence or a gravitational influence on these tides and waters. It's the waters of the world, and our blood is a fluid, if you like. But if we look back, I mean, this isn't all woo-woo and weird. The Farmer's Almanac. So farmers for eons, since ancient times, have always planted by the moon because they
What
realize
is
they're
that linked to
crops.
biodynamic farming, or as well as that?
I mean, okay, it's more around biodynamic farming now and people that are aware. But I'm talking way back in our ancestral times, people planted by the moon because that's what worked. So they knew that the crops were going to be better if they planted the seeds around a new moon, that time of new beginnings when the sap is stronger, when the earth's pull has got more push in it, if you like, to push the seedlings up and to give them strong growth, and to harvest around the full moon and when it's fuller and more abundant and at its ripest and richest. Just so really simple things like that have been in our existence for a very long time. I mean, this isn't new wisdom, it's just in a sense revived wisdom, because I think the moon also, for me, it's a really easy way to get back in touch and connect with nature. We can see the moon. We've got, and we all see the same moon. Just look outside, and to become aware of its cycle through the month keeps us connected with the cycles of time and life and our lives and what's happening in them. And it gives us a great opportunity to have the pause moments. Like, for example, we're in the dark of the moon now, so we're 2 days before a new moon on Thursday in Leo. We can talk about it, and I can come back to that.
By the time this
After
is
the moon.
broadcast, it will we'll be into Leo then.
Yeah. So, right. So, this is the dark of the new moon. And just before a new moon, it can be a little bit, we don't really feel like doing much. We can feel a bit lethargic. We can feel a bit like just want to have a duvet day, quieter, more inward. It can be quite emotional. It can be a time when secrets get revealed because it's just in that dark. And it's almost sometimes when we want to hide things and don't really want to share much of ourselves.
That's
And
so interesting. That's exactly how I'm feeling.
yeah.
You
You
just
don't really
stepped
want to
off
be like, well, hey,
the
let's go. It's not a good, not never a good time to book a party, for example. So if you're going to get married or engaged or have a special event or a party, don't book it for the dark of a moon. And you can easily, all you have to do is Google the moon phases these days, and you'll clearly get where the dates are and the times and where they are. So it's easy to look at that, but it's well worth checking.
I mean, I want to talk a bit more about that in a moment, but just briefly on that. I mean, does everyone get impacted, or is it just that, sometimes we don't notice, or is it that some people are affected more than others, and why might that be?
Yeah, I think some people are affected. I think it's a number of things. We have different predicate systems, so some people are more auditory, some people are more visual, some people are more kinesthetic, etc. And I do think kinesthetic people, people that feel, the people empaths, people that are very sensitive, have a lot of water in their astrological sign, for example, a lot of planets in water signs, something like that. They are going to find this effect of the moon more strongly, or will notice it more. So they might get the moon. I mean, I actually personally believe that a lot of sort of bipolar conditions are actually related to the moon. And if people are, I mean, I know it can become a quite serious condition and obviously needs its various treatment, but if you're in that sort of that minor, but you just notice your moods can swing quite a lot within a month cycle, like you can just feel very down or quite slightly more agitated or excited, you will probably, if you look at the moon timetable, you probably notice it's in correlation with the moon. So around a new moon, we have this dark, and then we have the new moon on Thursday, in Leo, and that is going to produce that slightly softer, quieter energy, but it's a new beginning. But when we start something, we're not so fired up. Whereas the energy builds then for 2 weeks up to the full moon, and the full moon we can be a little bit more manic. So if you have bipolar tendencies, and I do chirology, which is the art of hand reading, and actually you can check it out for yourself. So if you have a nice squidgy, soft, silky thumb, thick thumb pad just at the base of your thumb, that normally means you have a more empathic quality, or you have a strong curve on the edge of your hand running down from the little finger to the wrist, that sort of outer edge of the hand. If that's quite curved, then you will tend to find the moon affects you more strongly because you have more association with water in your element.
I mean, it's really fascinating. So in a sense, what you're saying then is, some of the wisdom that we used to think about when we thought about our menstrual cycles, which is, don't try and blast it out for the whole goddamn month. Accept that you're going to have times, a bit of downtime. But as a society, we don't really like to do that anymore. Everything feels like it has to be bigger, better, faster, more.
But
So this.
we don't honor the cycles of time.
No, exactly.
We don't honor the cycles of time at all. I mean, we should run everything in the seasonal things. There are times for things for growing, there are times to cut back and preserve, and there are times to let go. And we don't honor
Absolutely.
those cycles. As you say, it's that progress, progress, progress. It's the sort of linear advancement at all costs, and it doesn't serve us as we can see. I mean, we're having multiple system failure across the
Well,
tree at the
yeah,
moment, so we can't work out
absolutely.
very well.
Absolutely. And so it's quite easy to see why in so many cases people end up, a lot of women end up completely burnt out because at the they've got month after month after month when they're meant to have had some downtime, very specific downtime. But that's probably been when they're pushing through and doing their power meetings or whatever the hell. And then suddenly the body says, do you know what? I've kind of had enough here. And then, in some cases, it will just be a case of going to a GP and shoving in some antidepressants or HRT or both without being asked about your drinking, by the way. Just slip that in, as I always do. Or completely crashing and burning and wondering what the hell's wrong with me. But actually, we could go back to basics, right?
Indeed. And also, I wonder how many, if you start to pay attention to the moon, those are the women that are menstruating, they'll find their cycles often come into cycle with the moon. So they'll start a period on a new moon or a full moon. It will actually sync with the moon cycles. So we have this innate natural wisdom, and when we allow ourselves to go back to it, our bodies because it's natural, it's in our ancestral kind of lineage, it's in the amygdala of the brain, it's our bodies at least know it, whether our minds have overridden it over the world. So if we start to become aware of that cycle again, then we very quickly become entrained to it, and it just helps. It also helps with your planning, just your to-do lists, your planning. Okay, it's a new moon. It gives you that chance to begin again. It gives you that chance to have a look at your goals. Okay, it's a new moon. It's a new month. Am I on track? Can I set new intentions? Do I need to, clear something out of here? And then as we can then progress with meetings in that 2 weeks up to the full moon, that's a very, very good energy to get shit done, basically. It
So
really
just run us through the how it pans out
Yeah.
then. Excuse
So
my absolute ignorance, but
no.
where would it, what are we looking for then?
So if new moons are great times to set an intention,
yeah,
and begin something, start a project, write your first paragraph of your book, send an email to someone that you're desperate to do business with, sign a contract on a new deal, buy a house, all those great things, buy a new car, if those are the things that you're making, then planning to have them or set that intention or put the wheels in motion on a new moon is a wonderful energy for that. Then you have like 2 weeks up to the peak of the full moon where that energy will take you on its own trajectory. You'll find things flow easier. You get responses faster. There is a kind of energy that carries you. So you're not, how I see life is like, at all times, we need to be, if we can, of course, we need to be like the leaf on the river.
Yeah, in flow.
If we're on the leaf on the river, we just flow, and we're always going to end up at the sea eventually, if we just go with the flow, in that expanded consciousness. But most of us tend to be in our little rowing boat, paddling furiously upstream against the tide and the flow, and making life difficult. So for me, working with the moon just makes life easier, makes it flow, makes things just. Yeah, we have enough stress and difficulties. Why not get a few things on our side? And women, it's great for women. Particularly, I'm not saying men are not affected, but it does predominantly because of the womb, the uterus, the menstrual cycle, the blood flows, etc. It definitely affects women more on the whole.
So just back on the cycle then. When do we
done with
we
the new moon? We've got our 2 weeks of that. So the full moon normally brings something to a culmination or a completion. It can be very, very emotionally charged. It normally is when you're going to get a bust up or have a row or blow out your best friends, kind of that. If it gets very volatile, depending on what sign it is, how it's aspected astrologically, but full moons can be wonderful just to have a party. I mean, it's very high energy, but just be aware it can also be an energy where you can blow up and be very over emotional and act sort of out of sorts and like fly off the handle for no apparent reason. And then after that full moon, in the sort of as the cycle comes down and it's waning again, then basically that's a good letting go. So it's good for clutter clearing. It's getting rid of things you don't no longer need in your life. It's great for just clearing the decks, having conversations that have been getting in the way. And as that gets right down to the tail end that we're in right now, then we have this energy of quiet, retreat, going inside, pausing, just taking time to go, oh, where am I? How do I feel? Where am I going? What's happening right now?
And that's actually a time that, something that a lot of people never do.
No.
They never do it. We don't allow ourselves to do it.
I think I have to say, I don't know, maybe we could ask the audience, but I have to say, I think since the pandemic, maybe people do it a little bit more.
Well, that's true. That is true. We'll definitely touch on that. I wanted to ask as well, I know you've written a book about dreams and, how dreams... how we can notice our dreams. Does different moon cycles affect our dreams? Because I've heard
it can be. So again, around the full, depending what astrological sign the moon is. So if the moon, for example, is full in Scorpio or Cancer or some of these more water, the signs that are ruled by water, you might find access to the dreams more potent. You're more likely to get violent dreams, I have to say. Violent dreams tend to come under the full moon.
Nightmares almost.
Yeah, it's a bit like the same statistics in A&E. They have more accidents and more people admitted into A&E during full moon than any other times with the intensity of the emotion and the intensity of the pull.
Yeah, and aren't more babies born? Is that on a new moon?
I don't know that one. I don't know.
Okay, maybe I've heard it said. Yeah. But what about then? So how can we sort of, you've already mentioned how we can work with some of these cycles and take our downtime and plan things with more energy or whatever. How else can we harness its power for ourselves? So what I'm thinking in terms of is, if we want to visualize, if we want to set intentions, if we want to meditate, can we use different aspects of the moon for that.
If you're starting something, always in that new moon and about the week after the week, week 10 days after from a new moon upwards is always the time to start a new regime, start a new program, start a new plan, something of that nature. That's so
Fantastic.
that is the best. I mean, and if you want to save some money on haircuts, here's top moon tip.
Go
If
on.
you're try if you're trying to grow your hair and you really want to get the length, then only ever have it cut on a new moon.
Is
Because
that right? That's
yes,
fantastic.
statistically proven this, statistically proven. Yeah, so have your haircut if you want to grow it and you want more body, etc. If you're trying to save money and you have a shorter haircut and you don't want to go to the hairdresser so often, have it cut around a full moon and it will not grow as fast.
Fantastic. Have you got any more of those for us? I love
Yeah.
that.
So that's my best one. But that because again, it's the body functions. You'll find it on nails. Nails grow a little bit. I mean, but it's minuscule. You're not going to really notice it. But the hair, because it's normally around 6 weeks or 2 months between appointments for most. With the hair, that does really make a difference if you have short haircuts. It's well worth the
Fascinating.
try.
And I'm guessing as well, I know we've sort of already touched on it, but you've already said starting a new project just after the new moon is great. And that would also affect how we feel creatively, I'm guessing, how we.
Yes, but the creativity is a little different because I would say throughout the moon cycle you can be creative, and that is how the muse works with each individual being. Because, for example, you can have that initiatory energy in a new moon, but new moons, I think, potentially are less creative. They're very, very good for being a little bit more logical, a little bit more practical. It's like, right, I've got my to-do list done. These are my things that I need to tick off. This is what I'm going to put in progress. Whereas actually, as the energy builds towards a full moon, the energy can become very quite excited and quite more energized. So that can actually give you bursts of creativity or downloads or revelations or inspirations because there's just more energy around. The other thing is also this time we're in now, this dark of the moon. It's when we go in. It's like, if we look at the seasons of the year, winter is the most creative time. Spring, that new beginning, like, because spring is like the new moon, if you like. So the new moon of spring is when you put those creative ideas into practice that you've been incubating in winter. Winter is like the dark of the moon. It's exactly the same cycle. It's like the dark of the moon, and that's actually when you're quiet and you're internal and you dream and you daydream and you take time to read a book and be inspired or learn something or just go inside. And that actually is where that bigger sense of creativity can emanate from.
Fascinating. I'm guessing that with the work that you do, if you work one-to-one with someone, then it would be about their own, would it be linked to their own astrological sign, which would then
Well,
link
I
to
do
what
a,
happens?
because I have a lot of tools in my toolbox these days. So, like,
Yeah, I'm sure you
I
do.
mean, no, but I've been doing like readings for clients for over 30 years. So, I mean, that re I it's really individual to the person. I don't have a prescribed way. I mean, I normally will work with the tarot because it's a very good unconscious archetypes, but it's just a route in, really. And it very much comes, I might look at people's hands, I might look at their astrological cycle, their gene key. I mean, there'll be a whole bunch of things in there, depending on what that person's looking for.
Fantastic. Davina, it's so great to talk to you. I'm sure there's a million more questions that I could ask you. And thank you for doing a session for us in the Sober Club. I very much appreciate it. Do you want to give us your website or where people can find out more
Yeah,
information
I
about
mean,
the
you
work you
have.
do?
Well, for start, I think it said my website was relaunching in spring 2022. Well, I'll be honest. Hands up, bad day at school. Haven't quite managed to tick that box yet. Maybe I'll get it on this new moon
I
and
was
leave
going to
your
say, yeah, you want to get your
hair.
shit done on the
So it's venuspearl.com. But to follow me, probably the easiest way now is either email me, Davina@davinamikhael.com, or just go on to Instagram, which is also just my name, Davina Mikhael.
Brilliant. We'll put that in the show notes, and people can contact you
Okay.
there. Thank you, Davina. It's just fantastic for you to share this with us. Really inspiring. Thank you. So thank you, Davina. Check out Davina's info. I'll pop it all on the show notes. And just yet another reminder, if you've only just tuned in halfway through or something, that that interview was actually recorded just before the last moon that came in a week last Thursday. So so we're into that phase, as it were. But hopefully you've noted everything down for future reference. Just a reminder then that Sober by the Sea, Sunday 21st of August, still has a few places, a very small event where we create a vision board, look to what you want for the future. Drop me a message if that sounds like it's of interest and we'll have a chat. I did mention joining us in the Sober Club, and just another mention as well, in case you're someone who is a coach or a therapist, or you're thinking about inspiring other people with your amazing choice of being alcohol-free. Now you want to inspire others. The Sober Coach Training Program, the first couple of days, which are in person, are at the end of September, beginning of October. However, you can do this online. It's brilliant to have the one-to-one connection, but if you are in another country, it can be done online. And then there's a few weeks online and you become part of our coaches family. So there are no real time limits for this. If you're thinking, you know, at some point in the future, I really do want to start my business, then check it out, because it's incredibly comprehensive and it covers all the biz side of things as well. And I've got some amazing guest expert teachers too, so I'm really lucky in that respect. So if that's something that interests you, just drop me a message and we can you know, have a conversation on the phone, see if it's right for you. Whatever is going on for you, if you're struggling at the moment, always reach out. You know, it's one thing I really have noticed in the Sober Club is that when people are brave enough to reach out, they always get some kind of resolution to what's going on. You know, of course we can't make everything great again if stuff is tricky and difficult in your life, but reach out and just connect with other people who've had a similar experience or just want to offer you support really does make all the difference. So if you're doing this, if you're ditching the booze, if it's the first time around the block for you, this is so worth doing. Make sure you do it. Give yourself a big hug. And I'll see you next week. Thank you for listening to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by The Sober Club. Please rate and review. And if you want support, accountability and inspiration, and you want to live your best life without the booze, check out thesoberclub.com.